I will work together with the people of Emmanuel Baptist Church to build the kingdom of God both in this church and outside of it, is what the first statement ended up being. And so this week we're going to just talk about working together in this church. And I'm going to read to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. Yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? Sounds like an hourly worker to me. This too is meaningless, a miserable business. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. May the Lord bless our understanding of these words. Did you hear of the city on the hill? Said the one old man to the other. It once shined bright and it would be shining still. But they all started turning on each other. You see, the poets thought the dancers were shallow. And the soldiers thought the poets were weak. And the elders saw the young ones as foolish, and the rich man never heard the poor man speak. And one by one, they ran away with their made-up minds to leave it all behind. And the light began to fade in the city on a hill. That's a song called, well, City on a Hill, by Casting Crowns. And that's the first half. There's another half, and I'll share part of that with you later. But it talks about people who looked at themselves and said, I am the best. I am everything that I need in a church. I'm a soldier. I can go out, and I have the power and the strength to proclaim Jesus, and that is what we need. And all these other people, you know, the people who are too old or too young to go and march with me, don't need them. Don't need those people. Well, what happens if you have that mentality in a church? If all you have is preachers, then you have no congregation. I've actually seen what that looks like when you just have a bunch of preachers all together in one spot with nobody to preach to. We just spend a whole lot of time talking. If all you have is children, nobody wants to imagine that. If all you have is Marty the sound guy in the back, well, great. He can make everything work just fine, but there'll be nobody to see it. If all you have is the older people, you've got a lot of wisdom, a lot of heart, but there's nobody to set up the chairs and the tables and to run the sound system and to do the preaching or any of the other stuff. Each of the groups of people is necessary for the church. Each group of people brings something special to the church's work and will, but by themselves, they can't do it alone. I've been to a couple of churches where it literally just got down to the last like six or seven people after the church had lost people over years and years and years, and you just had, you know, one single mom with her kid and then three 85-year-old people, and they're just waiting for the last day when they close the door. And they didn't have all the different parts that they needed anymore. Not the numbers, God bless you, Everett. They didn't, not just numbers, but they just didn't have each of the parts they needed to get it going again. It's kind of like somebody who's working on a steam engine, and you've got the coal, and you got the shovel, but if you don't have the engine, you can't make the steam engine work. If you don't have the person to shovel the coal in there, you have no way of getting it to continue running. If you don't have the coal, I mean, how many of you remember when this place had a coal stove? couple of you. I think Maury does. He tells me about it occasionally. You have to have all the parts working together. Don't even get me started on computers. If one part of a computer isn't working, none of it works. Kind of like how Christmas lights used to be. The problem comes when you have all those parts together and every part wants to be the penultimate part. You have churches where the pastor thinks that they are the most important part of the church. You have churches where the deacons think that they're the most important part, or the trustees think they're the most important part, or the family people think they're the most important part, or the older people who've been there and maintained the church from the early days think they're the most important part. And if each one just declares themselves the most important part and tries to rule, nothing works. In fact, Paul talks about this when he talks about the different parts of the body. It says the hand can't say, I'm going to go off and do my own thing without the rest of the body coming along. The foot can't declare. The shoulder can't do much by itself. But our culture, in America at least, and probably in other parts of the world, has kind of made us not want to fit together. We really lift up the lone wolf out there somewhere in the desert, riding their Harley across the dunes. Leather jacket, no helmet. Out there, nobody to tell them what to do. And I like to say, if you're a lone wolf out there riding down Route 66 somewhere, nobody to tell you what to do. Nobody within 100 miles. What happens if you get into an accident? Well, you're going to have to walk 100 miles through Route 66 to find somebody to help you. God, when he made humanity, he made, you know, the beginning, the book of Genesis, he makes Adam first, right? And then he says, what's he say? It is not right for him to be alone. I will make a companion for him, a helper, somebody who can be with him. Even though God was right there with him, walking in the garden, he said, this guy needs some help. I like to say, then he took the rib out of him and formed Eve, and ever since, men have been trying to get the rib back. That's why we like spare ribs. But, yeah. God made Eve to be with Adam because he couldn't be by himself. No matter what our society says, we are not meant to be lone wolves. And I got to ask you a question. Let me give you an example of how our society reinforces the idea of working alone as being the best way. What's that phrase? If you want to do something right, do it yourself, right? Well, only God can actually do that correctly. How many of you went to school? Elementary school, middle school, high school, doesn't matter. At some point, you worked on a group project. Who among us were the ones who did the whole thing by yourself and everybody else just came in and got the grade? Yeah, a few of us. That means that everybody else was the people who didn't do any work. Everybody who didn't raise your hand with that one. All right. Feel silly now. But that was your first experience of working together on a project. Of course, in elementary school, it's not the best time. Okay, you're all going to have a class project. Work on this. Well, yeah, how are you going to get to the other people's houses to work on it if mom's not taking you, you know? And so you had the one person who got all the materials, and they became the captain of the group. And then they would do the whole thing. And every once in a while, they'd say, gosh, I really wish you guys would help me. But it would all get done, they'd turn it in, everybody would get whatever grade that person was going to get. And so we learned early on, if you were that person, don't depend on the other people for help. Because they're not going to be there for you. I tell you what, it doesn't get much better in college. Even college students really stink at group assignments. Why? Because everything's kind of built that you don't actually have to work together. One person could handle it. I've moved a couple of times. Let me tell you, there are some things you can't do by yourself. And Katie and I were up at her parents' cottage, and we were helping her dad put the boat in the water. And we were watching other people, you know, like in their 20s, who were trying to get their boats out of the water at the same time. And one thing that we never do is the whole, all right, gun the engine up onto the boat trailer and then hop out real quick to slap the chain on it before it starts sliding back into the water. We watched one guy do that, and I was like, he messes up once. That boat is back out into the water. He's stuck there at the truck. If you have two people, that's the best way to put a boat on the trailer or to get one off. You need help to do things. How many of you think that we could have built a highway system in this country with just one person? I mean, we like to sing, what's that one song? John Newton? No. Who's the guy who had competed with the steam engine? John Henry. I knew it was John something. John Newton was the one who wrote Amazing Grace. But John Henry, you know, he fights against the steam engine. You know, one man strong enough to build the railroad all by himself. Yeah, that's bogus. It didn't matter if he won or not. There weren't enough John Henrys to do the whole thing. You needed those steam engines to come in because you needed help to build the stuff. The advent of building technology that could do the work of people made it so that we could do things that we never could before because we just didn't have enough people. God wants us to work together. We keep trying to invent ways not to work together. But God wants us to work together to accomplish a greater goal. Sure, he said to us, whoever among you has the faith even as big as a mustard seed can ask a mountain to get up and throw itself into the sea and it will do it. I haven't seen that many mountains get thrown into the sea. But I can tell you when we drove back and forth to Florida, we drove through a lot of passes that had been put right through mountains. We didn't go through any tunnels on our route down. We went down 81 once we got over towards that direction in Pennsylvania. But we drove through a lot where they had kind of carved a slot out of the mountain to put a highway through. Nobody with the faith of a mustard seed did that. They got a work crew together. They got dynamite. They got all sorts of equipment. And they built those things. Because many hands makes light work. And the same is true in churches. You don't need thousands of people to have an effective and living church. You just need the right people. Just need a couple of the right people. And praise be to the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us that makes us the right people. We're not born the right people. We don't become the right people through experience or wisdom or age. God turns us into the right people. Remember when I was preaching about John 3:16 a while back, and he talked about how you need to be born again. It's basically saying you weren't born right the first time. It was wrong. The doctor did something wrong. You weren't born right. No, I'm kidding. You weren't born right the first time. When you accept the Holy Spirit into your life, the Holy Spirit starts a work in you that changes you into the person God needs you to be. Because every single person in here, God had a plan when he made us. Before our grandparents even got together, he had a plan for what we were going to be. He had a plan for what we were going to turn into, what he was going to shape us into, and what role we were going to fill. It's up to us to look inside each of us and see what that puzzle piece is that we have brought to the table to fit into the grand puzzle of God's design. And to ask the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? What gift do I have? Many of you already know what gift you bring. But if you don't know, now's the time to ask. Say, Holy Spirit, please tell me what gift you have given me. What work have you completed in me? What job am I meant for? Not 9 to 5 going to work every day kind of job, but what job in this world am I meant for? How am I supposed to help this church, this community, these people of God fulfill the mission that you have given us as a whole? A lot of people tend to fall into that earlier camp I talked about of saying that they were the best person, the only one needed. And watching how churches work, I can forgive them for wanting to go off and do it by themselves. A lot of people say, well, I have the Holy Spirit. I have Jesus. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be part of a group like this because I can just go do that one little job God has given me by myself. Well, Hebrews 10:25 says, do not give up meeting together And then you go into the larger picture of how does our church fit into the puzzle of all the other churches in the area. Well, I think I've kind of figured that out of what is needed in the community. Because I'll tell you, I went around putting up posters and calling people and sending emails and stuff like that to announce that you two were going to be here. And, you know, thank you for sending me the posters. And I didn't see anybody else doing anything. None of the other churches. We have a church up over here that has several hundred people in it. We've got City Church down on Main Street that's got, I think it's supposed to have like 1,500 people in it now, something like that. And we've got all these other churches all around the community. I didn't see a single other poster for any of those churches up on the bulletin boards. I didn't see a single other ad in the paper for events that they were doing or anything else that's going on at their churches, even service times. I looked around. You only really see it right out on the board in front of their church. We have this lovely electronic board out in front of ours, which is a great thing. I've heard so many people when I go and introduce myself, they say, you're the pastor over the manual. We love that board that you have out there. You have some really neat things that it says on that board. And all these other places have, you know, just the little movable type ones, or they have an electronic one or something. That's the only place they put themselves out there. I have yet to meet somebody who goes to basically any of the other churches in town. Because if I talk to them and say that I go to Emmanuel Baptist Church, they don't say where they go. I think I've found where our piece fits into the puzzle. We're supposed to tell everybody what we're doing and be the one that puts it out there that Jesus is Lord, and you can find him not just right here, but with each person that goes here, because they carry them around with them and are ready to just give them away to everybody who asks. And it just, okay, there's one church right now, just recently, that has started putting stuff out there. Ever-Present Church, which is over there in the mall. They're starting to put things up on bulletin boards and advertise and get their name out there a little bit. Which is great, because Jason is a wonderful pastor and he's doing a great work over there. The other ones are, of course, like Caravan. But Caravan's not really a church, they're more like a ministry. And they do a wonderful job. The Freedom, Total Freedom, it's over there in Darien. Of course, they're everywhere. But they're a ministry. These aren't churches. You know, Caravan is this beautiful outreach ministry that just goes around and does all this stuff. You know them better than I do. But I think I figured out where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be that church that gets the word out of who we are and who Jesus is. And that's why I went around so hard trying to talk up the picnic and the concert this afternoon. And I really hope people answer their call. I know God did, because he was going to send thunderstorms all day. And now the weather says, nope, no thunderstorms. Thank you, Lord. The churches need to work together too in that same way, just the way that the people do. But we'll get to that later. But the Bible says don't give up on meeting together. All those people who want to go out there and want to be lone wolves and don't like organized religion and all that stuff need to be in their church, because they don't know what they're missing. When they fall down, it's really hard for them to get back up, like King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes. All those things that he said, if someone falls, pity them because they can't rise by themselves. If they're all by themselves, when they lay down, they can't keep warm. I think he was talking a little bit about marriage right there. Marriage, did you know, is supposed to be an institution to keep you from sin? Paul writes about it, if you burn with desire, get married so that you won't sin. That was what Paul wrote about. He said, get married so you won't fall into sin. It's supposed to be a strengthening thing, just like with Adam and Eve. They're helpers for each other. But it's the most often source of pain and disruption in a person's life. And if you listen to comedians, it's the most often thing joked about. Well, of course, you've got two people with different spirits and different hearts, and you try to shove them together and make them one flesh. But it's also a thing that binds you and strengthens you. It can lift you up stronger than before. Nehemiah was building a wall around the city of Jerusalem because it had been broken down and all the people had been carried off into exile and they were coming back, but they didn't have a wall to protect them. and the people around the city were ready to come and attack. And he said, let's build this wall. And what they do, they had one person building while somebody else stood behind them with a spear. And then every once in a while, they'd switch shifts, and the builder would be the one holding the spear, and the other one would be working. And they couldn't do it without the help of the other ones around them. The rest of that song that I was singing, let's see if I can do it without taking another drink and steadying my voice, says, it's the rhythm of the dancers that gives the poets life. It is the spirit of the poets that gives the soldiers strength to fight. It is the fire of the young ones. It is the wisdom of the old. It is the story of the poor man that needed to be told. Each person fulfilling the need of somebody else to make it a stronger whole. We are meant to lift each other up. In 1 Thessalonians 5:11 it says, encourage each other and lift each other up just as you are already doing. To be the support for each other, to pray for each other, to fill in the gaps in our experience and our ability and our faith and our blessings. And that's why the first part of our covenant is to work together. Amen.